Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, folks, let me tell you, I am flat out stoked today. It's been a great weekend. We are in Chapter 6 of Tom Hopp's book, Time Out, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. Now, you guys can go to TomHopp.com, pick up a copy of this book in the checkout box. Put the word VEMMA, V-E-M-M-A. Tom will donate $5 to the VEMMA Next Project to make sure that kids are getting a healthy supplement in their meal. But let's talk about today's chapter, man. Who's playing the game in your life? Now, if you look at the first five chapters, let's just do a quick recap of what we went through last week. Number one, we talked about during the formative years between 0 and 18, your parents, your siblings, relatives, school friends, those closest to you influence your belief system to the extent in which you now live your life, what we know is your ego. Your ego is based around those first 18 years 99.9% of the time. Reason being, most of us are going through life so fast, we're on automatic pilot, and we don't have a clue. The other reason is most people in today's society have never gone through a military boot camp, been ripped down to where they're nothing more than little maggots, and then brought back up to be the soldiers and the leaders that military people become. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying go out and join the military. What I'm saying is that's a unique experience that only a few people ever experience, and if you look at the number of people in the United States. Number two, we talked about your belief support, how our beliefs support our feelings, which drives our behaviors. That's huge. Most of us think we're just reacting to something. That's not true. We're reacting based on our beliefs, not the situation in which we're in. Chapter 3, we talked about the ego. Tom is so good at this. He says your ego is comprised of your belief system based in good, bad, right, and wrong, from which you will have behaved in a manner that is consistent to how you think. In other words, is every reaction you have is based on what you're thinking, either on a conscious level or a subconscious level. Chapter 4. Tom taught us, I should say, I think that's a better way of saying this, that when we believe that it should be so, and the reality of what is so are not in alignment. In other words, when we believe one way but we're acting a different, or what's happening to us is different than what we believe, we automatically begin to self-destruct. That was a big one. And that's where we learned that all of a sudden, now we're basing life. It's a destructive cycle based on resentment, resistance, and revenge. Man, I shared some great stories on that because I've seen that so fast happen in my own life. And then last Friday, we talked about when operating in the game of life from the role of a victim, we never grow to achieve what we could achieve if we would get from victim to victory. That was a big one. See, these 5 points, and this is what Tom's reiterating here, these 5 points all together is truly the beginning of your life. This is where you've got to look at and say, okay, if I can master these five, then I can have the power to change me. I can take it to a new level. I can change things that's happening. So here's what we got to look at. At this point, if you took notes like I did, if you've been doing the homework assignment, then the discoveries that you've made are doing one of two things. They're freaking you out, and you're thinking, how in the world am I ever going to make it? Or they've challenged you to take your life to a new level. They've taken you and said, okay, I want to be somebody different. I want to stop the self-destruction. I want to move forward in a new way. See, and that's what I get excited about. Because what's happened, as I've gone through this book, I told this to Jimmy last Friday, I have been challenged to change my life. I've been able to dig a little deeper to say, aha, this was an aha moment for me. I need to change some stuff. I need to look at where I'm at today and what I want to achieve. I got to look at today, what can I do to change? See, I got to look at something different. And Tim writes something in here that I think is so neat. He writes this sentence, listen to this. What if you had everything that you need right now to make your dreams come true? I want to repeat that. I want you to think about this. What if you had everything you need right now to make your dreams come true? And he goes on, one little phrase that I think is powerful. He says, would you believe it? Now think about that for a second, folks. If you had everything under the sun right this second, your life could change in an instant. Would you believe it? See, Tom writes this. This is great. Knowing this, you are a person playing the game called life, and you are responsible for your results. Others can support you. Others may inspire you. Others may encourage you, mentor you, or coach you. Now listen, but ultimately, reaching your dreams, finding true happiness, finding the love of your life, having the career or business of your choice, whatever it is you're searching for, it's all up to you. I want to stop for a second. I want to listen. Everything is up to you. Your emotions, your reactions, the way you, your growth, your destruction, whatever it is. I had a situation over the weekend. Come up. Friday night. My girls are at the youth group. They're having fun at a local mall. They're chaperoned, sanctioned, whatever you want to call it. They get done. They're making a little video that's going to be used in the youth group. They're getting ready to leave. And a mall cop, a rent-a-cop, I don't know what you call them, comes up. Basically makes them all get back out of their cars, lines them up, takes all their information, takes their pictures, treats them as victims. Now, obviously, as a dad, I got very resentful because these are underage minors. They were in adult supervision. At the very least, I should have had a phone call before you take my kids' information and their pictures and put them up on a wall. But see, I was in control of my reaction. Now, here's what happened. I went berserk, shot a video. My pastor asked me to take the video down. I said, okay. But I'm setting today in my Monday morning meeting with one of my accountability partners and our youth pastor. His wife was who my daughters were at. And out of the mouth of Babe, because he's about the age of my oldest son, he says, Troy, you have every right to be frustrated as a dad. I fully agree with you on that. He goes, no problems with me on that. He goes, but I've been analyzing this thing, asking God for wisdom on this thing. He goes, what else could we do? What could we do to change this guy's thought process? He goes, maybe it was just a bad night because it's Friday night and he's worked all day. You know, I got to thinking, I thought, man, this is just what Tom's talking about here. We're in control of our actions. I let somebody else's actions piss me off, and then I went out and reacted. And I thought, duh, I'm supposed to know this stuff. You know, and I thought, man, this is so cool that as you walk through life, as you go through situations, you can reflect and make changes. You can realize, oh, man, in a moment of weakness, I let him control my reaction to it. Now, I don't know that my reaction would have been anything different, except I might not have shot a video like I did. Okay, I might not have said maybe he was a sexual predator or something like that. I mean, I was hot. But I looked at that and I thought, man, how cool is this that we're able to do this? If more people would slow down, take control of their life, and ask the question, who's playing the game of my life? Well, in this case, I'm going to make some changes, make some corrections this afternoon on that. But look, here's what we have to do, and Tom writes this in this book. We have to be open and willing to develop and practice a new thought process that will support us. And listen, from this point forward, experience life from the perspective of responsibility. Folks, that's what I had to do. I had to say, man, I'm responsible for this. I'm actually going to sit down. I'm going to try to get a hold of some people over here at the Destin Commons. I'm going to share with them that, hey, I want to take responsibility. Let me take responsibility for my daughters. You know, you ban them from the shopping center for 30 days. This is their life. This is where their friends hang out. How about if you banned me instead? How about if you come up, let me come up, get my kids' information, let's destroy it, you take my picture, you put my picture on the wall with my personal information, and you let people know that I am banned from the commons for 30 days. Now, it's not because I'm a martyr, but it is because I love my girls. And you know what? Sometimes you got to take responsibility for those that you are also under your leadership. And in this case, that's what I'm going to do. So let's do this for ourselves, starting right now. Let's all decide from this point forward, we're going to take personal responsibility for everything that happens to us in our life. No more playing the victim. No more pretending it's somebody else's fault. No more we're going to blame the franchise owner, the business, the boss, the upline, the downline, none of that. From this point forward, we're going to take control. And here's what I want you to do. This is going to help. Tom is so good. I mean, he just, this guy needs to move to Destin just so I can meet with him on a daily basis. Here's what we're going to do. These are the exercises for today. Listen to this. Take a moment and write down the 5 most effective characteristics and qualities that you recognize in yourself that are supporting you in creating an amazing and rewarding life. Are you a compassionate person? Are you trusting, accepting, persistent, patient, intelligent, courageous? List 5 that are very good. Now, I guarantee you, I've got a tenacity, a persistence like a bulldog. I know that's one of my traits. I go. I don't believe in losing. I don't believe in stopping. You know, when the battle's finally over, whatever the final score is, we won or we lost. We don't do point systems in battles. You either win or you lose. Then I know where I'm at. You know, in my relationships, I'm either growing or I'm dying. So I know persistence is one of mine. You know, accepting, probably not. Patient, that's probably not either. Courageous, that would be one of my 5, you know. You've got to write down your 5. I'm not going to tell you all 5 of mine. Okay, now once you've written down your 5, here's what you're going to do. Now take a minute and write down 5 most ineffective characteristics or qualities that you see in your own life that do not support you in creating an amazing and rewarding life. Think about this. You know, are you judgmental, feeling unworthy, undeserving, distrusting, self-righteous? Oh, man, this hit me between the eyes after this weekend. I thought, well, I'm judgmental, obviously. I judged this old fart because he had time to take down all 14 young girls' information, but he didn't have time to do paperwork at a different situation that happened. I thought, well, I'm pretty judgmental. Maybe the guy just had a hard day. Am I distrusting? Probably so. You know, as I analyzed Tom's book, I realized I definitely don't trust females. Okay, that's obviously baggage because of my history with my mom and other women in my life. So I knew, well, that one sucks. Am I self-righteous? That was a tough one. You know, I sat there trying to think up of my own, and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know what? When it comes to spiritual issues, I'm not really self-righteous at all. But when it comes to business issues or the way I perceive leadership, or I guess I could be kind of self-righteous in that moment. I thought, man, why has he got to write all that? I mean, I loved his good stuff, but now he's stepping on my toes. You know, so write down where you feel like you're ineffective. What characteristic? What? Call it an attitude. I don't care what you call it. Call it a habit, which is what it is. Think about that. See, I looked at this and I thought, man. Tom goes on and he writes this. Listen to this. In regards to the above ineffective characteristics and qualities, are they true or merely beliefs and stories about yourself that you continue to perpetuate? And I thought about that after I wrote these down over the weekend. Because, man, it was a tough weekend, guys. Listen, we're trying to get custody of the baby, our grandbaby, so we had a lot of work we had to do in the yard. You know, I had all kinds of stuff, and then this hit me, and I'm trying to be a good dad and a good father and a good husband and all this, and I'm thinking, man. So I'm sitting down here re-going through this chapter Saturday night and yesterday, and I'm thinking, man, do I really believe that? Because I'm really not that judgmental. I mean, of all people, and my kids will tell you that, I accept everybody into my life. I know people have hard days. I know it's rough, but in this case here, the protector, the daddy came up in me. Plus all the stuff that I know about sexual predators and trafficking and all that stuff probably had a root in all this. I'm not really self-righteous. But yet these are the first thoughts that popped out of my mind. Because somewhere along the lines, I believe this, and I'm thinking, well, man, we're going to figure this all out. I can guarantee you that. You know, so I'm sitting here. Guys, if you haven't bought Tom's book, Time Out by Tom Haupt, Haupt, you have to get this book. Just go to his website. Tom writes this, and I love this. Ever wonder what the common denominator or who the common denominator is on why you haven't gained what you wanted to gain? Why is your life not changing? Why can't I just make a New Year's resolution and poof, it all changes? He says it's simple. You can never move away from yourself. And I just stopped. I went and got a cup of tea because it was hot. I didn't want coffee, drinking some peach tea. And I sat here and I thought about this by the pool. I just put up this brand new picket fence because it's part of what I had to do. So I'm sitting by the pool and I'm reading this. You know, you can never move away from yourself. And I thought, man, he's got a great point. You know, and it took me back to my brother-in-law because I thought, man, here I am. I remember the last day I bonded my brother-in-law out, bonded him out of jail. He'd been out on a ride. You know, the cops were after him. He put a little bit of marijuana up in a tree, but they saw him, and, you know, the rest was history. He got popped, you know. And he said, Troy, I don't know what to do. We're sitting here, and he's down by the lake. He's drinking a 12-pack. He feels like his wife's leaving him. He's going busted. He goes, man, I got one opportunity. I said, what is it? He goes, I can move to Alaska with my old mentor who taught me construction. I said, dude, then do it. See, down here where we grew up, you know, he was a rebel. He rode with a little bikers club. He's always getting in trouble. You know, he was not a victim of his circumstances, just a victim of his surroundings. It's what he loved. He'd been a scout sniper, so he's used to being a loner. Rode loosely with this group. It worked out great. But all of a sudden, he was spiraling downhill, and he wasn't feeling good with himself. Made the move to Alaska, and you guys, I've shared this story. Made the move to Alaska, and all of a sudden, he could just be himself. He was out there working. He was helping people. People didn't look down on him when he went after and tried to help the underdog. All of a sudden, life had turned around for him. See, the loudest, and Tom writes this, the loudest voice shouting at you isn't from the stand, it's your ego. See, your ego rises and falls based on what you're saying to it or based on what you perceive people are saying to you. See, Tom talked about that. D wrote at 18. Well, I know for a fact that my brother-in-law went through some pretty frustration during that time. He was a little rebel. His dad was a cop. Didn't work out too well. You know, things happen. See, when you look backwards and you're able to use this to say, aha, this is what I need to do to change my ego. This is what I need to do to move forward. All of a sudden, the subliminal messages that you start feeding into your brain change. See, I used to wonder, I'd read my Bible, and y'all know, I mean, my Bible's kind of like it and all the John Maxwell books are like right there beside each other. So here's the deal. I'm reading the Bible, and Jesus says in the Bible during one of these times when he's talking to people, that if you think it, so it is in your heart. Now, I'm just paraphrasing this because I couldn't even tell you the chapter or verse. I just know that it's there. He says, what you think comes from the heart. And I'm thinking, wow. Now, he goes on to say, if you lust after a woman, then you've already had sex with her. And I'm thinking, well, that's not quite accurate, you know, and it's like, but here's what happens. As I'm reading that, and I'm growing older, and then I'm reading Tom's book, and I'm trying to put this in my journal in perspective, all of a sudden, I got it. Because see, what keeps bombarding into your brain, what you keep being told, what you believe, what you perceive, all of a sudden, that does become the reality. That does become what's in your heart. Of course, after going in the military and going through some psychological training, I realized that's also true. That's why some people do great as POWs and some people freak out. So you've got to change those subliminal messages that keep bombarding you and keep hitting you. You've got to choose which ones help you and which ones do you need to eliminate. So let's go back to Tom's earlier question. Now, this is what he writes. What if you picked up and moved to another city, state, or country and were guaranteed never to run into anyone that you ever knew? Who would you become? How would you change? What's the new person that you would be? I want you to write that down. And this is what he says. Write down the 10 traits and qualities of the new you. And write them as I am statements. I am trustworthy. I am confident. I am a servant leader. Whatever it is, write it down. I'm wealthy. I'm trusting. I'm playful. I'm sexy. I'm a stud. I'm a studette. Whatever it is, you write it down. That's what you got to do. Because these are going to become the new beliefs. This is what you're going to start practicing. You're going to become the person that you want to become, and you don't have to move to Alaska. You don't have to move from the Midwest to Destin, Florida. You don't have to do any of that. You can change today right where you're at. Every day from here on out, you have a choice to live as the person that you've just described. Tom is so accurate when he does this. Or you can just keep living the same dull, negative, disillusioned life you're living. Neither option is good or bad. Neither option's right or wrong. Now, this is good. Listen to what he said. You can continue being the person that you are today, or you can change. But since it's you that gets to make the decision, it's not good, it's not bad, it's not right or wrong. However, it is your choice. See, I could have continued. Today when I'm sitting in my meeting with the guys, well, actually, yesterday. Yesterday when the pastor said, Troy, man, we're going to meet with these people over at the Commons, and this video that you put up is typical you. I love it. I know you have a right to feel this way as a father, but could you please take it down until we have our meeting? I could have resisted that authority. I guarantee you I've been known to do that. But I said, you know what? I have an example here that because that video had already gone viral, so when I took it down, it went off a lot of sites. This morning when I'm sitting in with four guys, three other guys and myself, guys that I do trust, and my youth pastor, the person that I've trusted to mentor with him and his wife, my girls, says to me, man, I just want to be able to present this in a little different light to the kids. I want them to see that, hey, you know what? Maybe it wasn't the coolest thing, and yeah, maybe these people were wrong, and yeah, maybe we have a right to go beat them up. But is there something we can do to cause them to see that we're different? And I thought, wow, man. He's got a point. So I'm sitting there. Everybody's talking. Everybody's praying. Everybody's doing their thing. There's just the four of us. We're doing, you know, and call it inspiration from God. Call it my super subconscious, because I think that's what Tom called it in here, or super conscious. Whatever it is. Here's the inspiration that I got. How about if I call up these people and I say, I will take the action. I will be banned. And I thought, aha. See, it was an aha moment for me. But it was an aha moment because of what I'm listening. See, that's what you got to have. You got to have those aha moments and decide I'm taking responsibility. See, when you look underneath what you're feeling, then you realize that as an unfulfilled person, that's what's causing you to be what you're being. And you've got to decide to change it. You know, I remember as a kid when I would be disciplined by my mom, more my mom than my dad. My dad did it out of anger. My mom did it for whatever reason. But I remember, and I've shared this story with you guys. I remember at 5, that was 41 years ago, how impactful this was in my life. But I remember at 5 years old, putting on those Aquaman swim trunks, putting on my pants and going to school in kindergarten to show off my new super Aquaman swim trunks. I looked just like the dude on the cartoon. But then when I came home and my mom, out of embarrassment, whipped me with that switch until I couldn't catch my breath. I remembered that I had to get away, so the one place she couldn't do anything to me was in the top of the tree. So I would climb those trees and I would sit there for hours. I even had it to where I could strap myself with a rope and go to sleep if I wanted to. She couldn't climb that tree. Now as an adult, this book has been phenomenal for me. Here's what happened. Paige gets upset at me. I can't go climb a tree. You know how awkward it looks when you got your husband, 46 years old, climbing a tree. But what I can do is I can introvert. I can go into my self-made cave. I can go into my office if I want to. I can sit out by the pool. I can do anything to get away. But usually what happens is I just clam up and stop communicating. When she asks me a question, it's literally beyond belief. I can answer just about every question with one word. Yep, nope, I don't know. Go ahead. I don't care. Doesn't matter. See, this is what happens. But when you start to realize this, you realize, is that helping my relationship? Is that helping me? Does that help my kids? I'm still feeling unfulfilled. I'm still feeling a little rejected. See how this works, guys? I try to give you life experiences to let you understand. Here's where I picked it up. I was 5 years old. I wanted to get away from my mom. I would go by myself and climb a tree. Now, the same reaction, I'll catch myself locking myself in my office so I can just chill out, watch a movie. I'll sit by the pool by myself. I'll clam up. I won't be communicative. I won't be loving. I won't be passionate. I won't see all this stuff that we do. See, when you look underneath the feelings, you realize what's causing you to act the way you're acting. Sadly, folks, listen, Tom writes this, and I can't say it any better. Many people go through life being dissatisfied or unfulfilled, and they just can't seem to put their finger on why they feel that way. Why do they feel that way? Here, I'll give you another one. Why is it that guys can go out to a club? Women do this too. They go out to a club. They get a little tipsy. They flirt with a girl. Maybe they pick the girl up. Maybe they end up in the back seat of a car. They end up in her house, whatever the case is. After the event's over, then they feel guilty. Oh, my gosh. Why'd I do that? They feel bad and they want to change it. No, this isn't something Troy does. I'm using this as an example. But then they continue to do that over and over and over until their relationship is broken. Why is it that we have all these habits that screw us up? Have you ever thought about that? Here's what I want you to do. Write down, this Tom's got it in the book, you can do it on a piece of paper. Write down as many examples of expectations you think your parents or others have put on you. And you're currently attempting to fill those and not your own. See, here was the kicker, folks. Listen to this. I realized that everything that I've done in life, I was trying to please my mom, please my dad, please somebody in my life, because here's what I found out. And it all started at 5 years, it may have been before that, but at least at 5 years old. If I don't want to get a whipping, if I don't want to cry, if I don't want to feel rejected, if I don't want to feel the pain of having that person look me in the eyes and say, you've embarrassed me, I'm not proud of you, then I had to try to fulfill their expectations of what happiness was, what life was supposed to be about. I had to try to think like them so they didn't get embarrassed. How many times in a network marketing organization are you trying to build your business for your upline? How many times are you trying to build your business based on what some icon in your network marketing company has said, instead of digging deep inside and saying, why do I want to build this network marketing business? Why did I go into business for myself? Is there a better way that works for me? See, sadly, the word in network marketing that's called duplication is not explained, which means it becomes a myth. Because nobody knows what it is that's supposed to be duplicated. The personality, the habit, the system, the results. Are we trying to duplicate leaders or duplicate followers? Are you trying to build your business based on what you want to accomplish with it, or are you trying to build somebody else's? That's the crazy thing. So write down this stuff. When you write this down, folks, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find out that who you think you are is a foundational belief that will dictate your journey. How you think determines how you feel, which drives the way you act. And if you're willing to change the ineffective beliefs that your ego is currently identifying with, then you will change your behavior. It doesn't support you. It doesn't support your growth. Folks, this is the key right here. You have to decide, I'm going to change. I want something different. I want to live my life, not somebody else's life. I'm sick and tired of following somebody else's wants and desires, and it's time that I change myself. Tomorrow, it's going to be great. We're going to talk about, have you settled for your B game? Wow, have you? Have you settled for the B game? Look, go through, buy this book, do the homework, meet me back here tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind, as we start to go through Chapter 7, Have You Settled for Your B Game? It's going to be phenomenal. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll see you at the top.